A contrast. While I was in Queensland, our present situation was presented to me by the figure of a building in process of erection. The builders were full of earnestness and determination to complete the work, putting into it their very best efforts. But the second time I came to look at the building, it was not half completed, yet the builders had gone to other work. I said, "What does this mean?" The answer was, "We began to build, but were not able to finish. We had no money with which to purchase material and had to stop building." Again, an illustration was presented before me. There were elaborate buildings, abundant facilities, and many plans for new improvements. I asked, "Who owns these buildings?" The answer was, "They are supposed to be the Lord's property." "Well, who owns that building not half yet completed?" "Oh, that too is the Lord's building, but the workers could not complete it, for they had nothing to build with." This represents the comparative situation of the work here and in America, the great lack in one place and the superabundance in the other. My teacher said, "This is chargeable to the devising of men, but no reflection should be cast upon God. The abundance in one locality was amply sufficient for completing the unfinished building and providing facilities for carrying on the work in other localities. God is not partial. He does not work in this way. The stewards entrusted with the outlay of his means chose to build up that which was under their own supervision. But the same enterprise in the New World of Australia they leave in the condition represented by the unfinished building. Never should God's stewards show such marked selfishness and partiality. Such policy and principles are wholly worldly. They should find no entrance among God's people. The Lord is dishonored before the world and before the heavenly universe. That house must be built. The sanitarium in Sydney must be put in working order. The Lord never works capriciously. He designed that his work should stand before the world more evenly proportioned. At the Brisbane camp meeting, and during our visit to Rockhampton, our brethren were raising money to carry on the work of building the college hall for the school at Kurrumbong, work which had come to a standstill for want of funds. Our brethren in Queensland are poor and have large families to support. While they were being drawn upon to raise the amount apportioned to their colony, they were told of the promise made by the General Conference that for every pound raised in this country, the conference in America would donate a pound. In the night season, I found myself presenting these matters before our brethren in America. I told them what poverty existed in this country. I dreamed that one of our stewards brought in the amount collected from men, women, and children in Queensland. The promise of our American friends that we should receive pound for pound had encouraged these hard-working people in Brisbane to give to the very utmost of their ability. Then the responsible brethren in America turned to the ones who were so anxiously waiting to see what they would do. They said, "We thought you understood that we cannot now fulfill our promise to duplicate your gifts. Circumstances have made this impossible." I find myself waking up in the night and crying, "O Lord, pity thy poor people, whose managers do not consider the wants of the cause in this land. They cannot see afar off. God has waited for you in America to send your gifts where the fields are white for harvest. Should you not have some thought as to how you could gather from your conferences the means which you promised our school, giving us pound for pound, according to that which we could raise? Shall that agreement be broken when, by strong appeals, the means are gathered in here from those who are sacrificing almost the necessaries of life? Have our brethren no thought with reference to all these workers, so crippled and bound about? We can see the great harvest field, but are almost without facilities for gathering in the sheaves. Shall the cold-hearted, unbrotherly neglect manifested by our American brethren continue? God has bidden us to call, and call again. He says, "Break up this calculating policy. The means is mine, the work is mine." Are our brethren afraid that we cannot possibly use the means to such advantage as they can use it? Let them try us.